Welcome to Gracious Words. Gracious Words is taken from the weekly women's Bible study taught by Cheryl Broderson at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
We behold your glory, God, in the face of Christ. It shows us who you are.
Often when things seem beyond our control, we wrongly assume that God isn't there or He doesn't care. These situations can test our faith. On today's program, we'll learn how to hold faith in uncertain circumstances. Here is part one of Cheryl's message titled, Be the Example.
I haven't set to do a Bible study in so long, but as I said before, do not, be not afraid. Fear not, all those scriptures that are in the Word. Okay, I hope I have this in the right order. We'll know if I don't. Oh, okay. So, I want to ask you a question. Have the things for the last, like, 2 or 3 years taken you by surprise? Do you feel somewhat shaken? Like, what happened to the world we used to live in? And I feel off balance, like, literally off balance. In the last 2 years, so I consider myself the healthiest person I know, or I did. And in the last 2 years, I have been in the emergency room 3 times and twice by paramedics. And so I went to bed Saturday night, and I've had this, like, stuffy ear for, like, a month, right? And my thing is, like, it will get better. It's just allergies. And I woke up, and my head felt like it was 80 pounds, and the room was spinning around me. And I was profusely drenched in sweat. And so I woke up Brian, and I said, if you wake up to a corpse tomorrow, I want you to know I think I'm having a stroke, but don't be dismayed if I'm dead in the morning. And I said, and I'm going to throw up. And so he's like, no, you've got vertigo. I think you have an ear infection. I'm calling the paramedics. And, you know, paramedics, when they come, they just make your life miserable. They, you know, I'm already just so nauseated. The room's spinning, and they're moving me onto a gurney. I could not get up. I mean, everything was spinning. And every move of my body just jarred me. So they put me on this thing. And then my bedroom's upstairs. So I have kind of a half circular staircase. So they're having to bring me down. Second time I've done this. And it's just like, and they've given me my own trash can to, because I'm, you know, any movement just makes me throw up. So they get me out, and then they have to move me onto the other bed, and then they're doing an EKG, and, you know, it's like, I don't care what you do. I don't care. I'm going to go see Jesus. It's okay. And, you know, I kept thinking to the girl, like, thank you, but I'm going to go see Jesus, I think. I think this is, you know. So we get to the hospital. They move me on another bed. Then I have to have a CAT scan, an MRI, and all of this to tell me that they don't know. So they gave me some drugs, sent me home. My doctor is so, I've got the best doctor. She calls me the next day, like, what is going on? And then I had a physical therapist come to my house, and he ruled out that thing that, like, BVP or PVV, the crystal thing in your ear. And so the doctor said, you've got an inner ear infection. And I looked it up online, and I had every single symptom, especially the stuffy ear for 4 weeks that I did nothing about. That's, like, the number one symptom. That's supposed to send you to the doctor, but me, no. Yet I know that Saturday night did not take God by surprise. Took me by surprise. I definitely took Brian by surprise. But it didn't take God by surprise. He already knew the future. He already knew what was going on. And he went before me, and he prepared the way. Often when things seem beyond our control, we tend to wrongly assume that either God doesn't care, God isn't there, God is inactive, or God is so weak. And when we begin to assume those things, we're women, and we try to seize control. I call it the flying cat syndrome, because if a cat like begins to drop or fly through the air, the claws come out, and it will grab onto anything it can. I don't know if you've ever had a flying cat thrown at you. It's something that cruel little boys do. But, you know, they grab and it hurts. And that's what we as women do. Our claws come out. And we're just clawing at anything that will give us stability. And it moves us away from the Lord. We depart from the faith, sometimes not even realizing that we're departing from the faith, but we begin to put our trust, because you know what? Christianity is all about faith in God, what he has done through Jesus Christ. And without knowing it, we depart from the faith and we put our trust in politics, in politicians. We put our trust in maybe job opportunities or other circumstances or people or Tennessee or Idaho or Texas. You know, all I need is a new place to live. And we don't even realize that an idol has come between us and God, that this is the person or this is the thing that's going to deliver me. This is the thing that's going to bring me out of this situation that is uncomfortable, that I don't like. So Paul says that the Spirit of God is warning us. He is expressly, that word expressly means he's like shouting at us. He is saying, without a doubt, there are going to be hard times in the future, without a doubt. You know, going back to my conceit about health, when I was pregnant with my third child, I took this aerobic maternity exercise class, which reminded me of those kind of elephants dancing in Fantasia or hippopotamus or whatever they were. And as I was taking this class, and this is a good thing to say because this is, we're going to talk about exercise. And I remember saying to the instructor, is this going to make my labor shorter? And she said, no, because I'd had a 28-hour labor and then a 12-hour labor. So I was like, is this going to make my labor shorter? And she's like, no. And I said, well, is this going to make it easier? And she said, no. I'm like, then why am I doing this? And she said, it will give you the endurance to make it through labor, to have a child. And I was like, okay, put that music on. Here we go. But the Spirit is telling us that there will be hard times. Even as Christians, we don't have an exemption to hard times. There will be disillusioning and disappointing times. Jesus spoke of false prophets that would arise and deceive many. There will be things that will threaten to jar the faith right out of us. We'll hear about leaders that are falling. We'll hear about, and how much have we heard of that lately, right? We've heard about, you know, this person was doing this with the money. This person had a sexual addiction. And these were all leaders of churches. Satan is working overtime to get us to doubt the goodness and sovereignty of God. Yet even Jesus warned us in John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation. One of my most unfavorite promises, in the world you will have, without a doubt, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have problems. But there's an addendum to this. Take heart. I have overcome the world. In other words, you're going to go through labor, and it's going to be hard at times. But the good news is you're going to give birth to a healthy, wonderful child, which is Jesus. As Paul said, I labor fervently for you until Christ is formed in you. So during these labor pains, this time, Christ is being formed in us. Leaders need to prepare themselves and others for the times we live in. Remember, you're all leaders. And we need to be prepared and therefore prepare others for these times that we live in. Years ago, my mom did a retreat, and she did it in Twin Peaks, funny enough, called Disaster Preparedness. Now, one of my mom's favorite things was to come up with retreat themes. That was just her favorite thing. And so often we would have meetings and she'd be like, I have three themes. Choose your favorite. And so, everyone would choose their favorite. She'd be like, nope, that's not my favorite. So disaster preparedness. And you're like, disaster preparedness? What are you talking about? She said, nobody's prepared for disaster. And yet the Spirit expressly says to us that in the latter times, perilous times would come. And this was the 80s. And I don't know if you remember, some of you can and some of you can't. But in the 80s, these companies that prepared you for disaster began to rise up. And I knew a woman who had a company, and I think it was MGM Studios hired her, and she went in with her husband. And they thought of all the worst case scenarios, like a bomb, a fire, a nuclear event, every worst case scenario, a sniper, anything you could think of, they thought of, and they made a plan of action for every single eventuality. And once they came up with this plan, they had MGM do all the necessary things. Maybe if it was a health crisis, defibrillators, telephones available. 80s, remember, cell phones were like this big and only Batman had one. Fire extinguishers, shelters, safety shelters, all these things. And then she and her husband would outline and teach the whole staff of MGM on what to do in case of a disaster. That's where we're at. Paul is saying to Timothy, disaster is coming. And it's here already. The Spirit already told us. So, Timothy, you need to prepare the people for disaster. You need to prepare the people for the times that they live in. And you need to be prepared for the times that we live in so that you can not only teach, but you can exemplify how to be prepared for the times we live in. When the Bible talks about latter times, it is talking about the time of Pentecost, the time that was initiated by the ascension of Jesus and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit right up to the present times and to the coming of Christ. Every reference to the latter times doesn't just mean the period right before the tribulation. No, when Peter was teaching in Acts chapter 2. Remember, everyone was speaking in tongues, and those watching were saying, what does this mean? And he said, this is nothing less than what the prophet Joel said would happen in the last times. Peter is saying the last times are here, and now they're going to continue until the coming of Christ. This is the last great show of mankind. This is it. This is, you know, men, do your best, because when you are done, then comes the time for the fire of God. And those are the times we are living in. Paul and Timothy were living in those times, and we are living in those times. Now, I want to remind you just for a moment that Timothy was serving in Ephesus, and we learn in Acts chapter 19 that Ephesus was a city that was steeped in idolatry and spiritualism. We read again in Acts 19 about itinerant Jews who were going around casting out demons, which meant what? That there was a need. Why was there a need? Because there were demons. Right. Because there was demonic activity in Ephesus. So this was like a money-making thing. We also read that there were riots. It was a very volatile city, a city on edge. Don't you kind of feel like we're living in edgy times? Like people get angry over such a little thing. My oldest grandson drives. And I was in New York, which kind of precipitated some of this. I was in New York last week. And he says, you know, Grandma, I want to go to the outlets. I'm like, oh, great. He's like, no, I want you to take me. Because I want you to spend money on me, Grandma, because you're my grandma. So I'm like, okay. Because I'll drive. You're going to drive. So he's got this car. And don't worry, we've taken care of it. Grandpa took care of it. But the registration was expired. It's got a crack across the entire windshield. And it wasn't until we were leaving the outlets that I realized his four tires were balding. Anyway, he drives me an hour and a half out to these outlets. And I have no idea why I'm telling this story. This is like my antibiotics, maybe. Maybe it was disaster preparedness with Kate. It was one of the most frightening rides I've ever been on. But it'll come to me later as we, oh, I know. He comes out of the gas station and he gets in the right-hand lane and he makes a left turn in front of the car right here. So this car, it's a lady in a Kia, I'm just going to say, she starts tailgating us, and she pulls out her phone, and she starts taking pictures of us. She's honking. She's everything. And I'm just like, oh, Lord, I didn't know this was going to be an intercessory trip. But, you know, and if I see you today, see, I've had a lot of near-death experiences lately. So then he decides to take a picture of her taking a picture. And I said, Kate, that's against the law. Yeah, but I want them to catch her against the law, too. Because I'm like, seriously? He goes, what do you think she's doing? Is she calling the police on us? Call my dad. Find out what she can do to me. So I'm like, hi, Michael. This is your mother-in-law, Cheryl. I'm driving with Kate. And he just made like a left-hand turn in front of a lady, cutting her off, almost killing her. And she's taking pictures of us. And he wants to know, will there be any recriminations from this? You know, he's like, I think the police have better things to do than find Kate. So anyway, make a long story short, she kept at us, honking, following us, doing all of this until we finally pulled off onto the motorway. But I just thought, you know, seriously, I wanted to say to her, just let it go. Let it go. He's 20. He's not a good driver. Let it go. And I wanted to say to him, and he was like, I'm taking pictures. I'm like, let it go. I said, you live in New York. These things are common. Let it go. You know, just breathe deep, breathe in, breathe out. And, you know, and I was saying that to myself, just let it go. Let it go. This is not a lecture from grandma moment. So it was a very hot spot. It was a city on edge. But the believers had formerly been steeped in paganism and superstition. In fact, Acts 19:18 speaks about when the people, the Ephesians, the Christians, brought their occult books. So they had formerly had all these occult books on how to cast spells, make yourself feel better, all these spells, all these remedies that relied on mythology and genealogies and other stuff. They brought them because at that moment they realized these things are keeping us from Jesus. We need to get rid of these things. And they publicly burned those books in a bonfire. And it was written that the books had been worth 50,000 pieces of silver. 50,000. In our times, that would be somewhere around $1 to $5 million of books. Books that were filled with superstition, spells, diagnostic tools, and other weird stuff. So Paul had already written to Timothy that when he went to Ephesus, it wasn't to live pleasantly. It was to set the church in order. He was to charge that the people not teach any doctrine than the gospel. Don't teach anything as doctrine outside the word of God. He wrote to Timothy to stop the myths and endless genealogy, which is equivalent, I'm sorry, to conspiracy theories of our day, to pray for the government and all in authority rather than rioting or resorting to violence, and to appoint good and faithful leaders. Now Paul exhorts Timothy to prepare the people for the time they live in. The Spirit had already predicted these times. Again, they were no surprise to the Spirit of God. And Paul said that these times would be characterized by departure from the faith. Now, I find it interesting that, you know, now we don't call it departing from the faith. There's a new term, deconstructionism. I'm just deconstructing my faith. Yeah, I'm just reevaluating it. I heard one woman who I personally knew on a podcast just talking about, oh, when I gave up Jesus and I saw him just as a man, all the freedom I had. And I was just like, what freedom? I don't want to live one moment without Jesus. Not one moment, because disaster is all around us and we're vulnerable to it. I don't know what I would have done Saturday night without Jesus. If Jesus wasn't the Son of God, if my sins weren't forgiven, if he wasn't on the right hand of the Father making intercession for me, if he hadn't sent the Holy Spirit to accompany me in the ambulance, well, down the stairs, in the ambulance, at the hospital, I don't know where I would be. But people who once followed Jesus will give heed to deceiving spirits. Another word for deceiving is seductive spirits. Doctrine of demons or demonically inspired teachings. And these deceiving spirits, these doctrines of demons would draw them away. Just as Eve was seduced by Satan, who drew her away from all the freedoms in the garden, all the trees with all the ripe fruit that she could have, to the one forbidden thing, and lied to her that the forbidden would give her freedom, that the forbidden would give her fulfillment.
Paul knew that Ephesus was a treacherous city steeped in idolatry and spiritualism. There were false teachers promoting myths and legends, causing some to leave the faith. Paul encouraged Timothy to step up and lead the church and set it in order. He was to teach the word, but also live it out as an example. The message Timothy shared then is the same message that we as believers need to hear today. Hold on to sound doctrine and live for Jesus. We hope you have been blessed by today's Bible study. For more information about the Gracious Words radio program and the teaching ministry of Cheryl Broderson, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. Coming up next time on the Gracious Words program, we'll look at how to be an example as we continue our series, Letters to Lead, Live, and Love By, in the first epistle to Timothy with Cheryl Broderson. We do hope you make plans to join us. Again, for more information, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.